Three men and the one podcast rule them all. Comes the one podcast you can't miss. Baked with a touch of grandma's love. It's Podtacular!
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
Well, hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. This is episode 123. I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
And I'm the Too Cheat.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, the Too Cheat.
Yeah. It's been a while since you've been on.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, man. So what have you been up to these days?
Playing some WoW, Battlefield 2, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Everybody misses Halo.
Yeah.
Hear that.
And that's why we're here.
That's true. This episode is the new Halo 3 hotness, where we talk about all of the new features that were recently revealed in the Electronic Gaming Monthly magazine, along with other magazines in Europe and other places that were released, talked about all the new info there. So lots of people sent stuff in. We got a usual listener-supported show that goes on with Podtacular, where people send in their comments and their questions, etc., and we talk about those and kind of use that as a starting point for the rest of our show.
Yep, and we have a lot of nice little custom game types already sent in, and a lot of excitement about all the new features that was found in the new EGM article.
Indeed.
So, without further ado, we'll start off with Duffman X18. And here he goes. My biggest surprise, the gravity hammer. After seeing Tetris use it in Halo 2, I wanted to try it out for myself. I actually own one in real life. But anyway.
Sweet.
And now that it's confirmed in Halo 3, it's going to be super special awesome. Imagine what you can do. Vehicle baseball. Grenade, tetanus, and much more. Now for a vehicle baseball. Ingredients, the pitcher, nothing but a mongoose and a man cannon. The batter has the gravity hammer with increased speed. People out in the field, their job is to die, catch the mongoose. People guarding the bases, plasma grenades, and he goes, plates, anything stationary, crates, turrets,
bases,
whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes, how it's played. Take a gravity, a mongoose, and a man cannon. The catcher has the craptacular job of trying to get killed or splattered by the mongoose. But if he gets killed, that counts as an out, and the batter has to go sit. Also, since you can't pick up vehicles, the guys on the field at the bases have to stick the batter as he is running. Okay, I get it now. If he dies, he's out. For the bases, you will have something stationary like a box or a turret. Other than that, just follow the normal baseball rules.
That is awesome. I can't wait
to
play that.
That would be funny, man. That would be funny. And of course, you know, we played the beta, and the man cannon was, I was discovering new things like every week, you know, throwing, you know, dead bodies at other people and, you know, actually having it damage you. Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
So this is like a fast pitch softball kind of.
I know, right? It'll definitely. It's the first. From what I can recall, I believe this is the first official Halo 3 custom game.
Yeah.
So
congratulations,
stuff.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
You get a cookie.
Oh, you get a dumpling.
More on that later.
Yeah, sorry, Bob.
Well, Dutchy Cheat, why don't you continue the stuff people sent in on the next one?
Okay. Crimson Viper, he says, oh my jeebus, The first thing I thought when I heard of Forge, since I'm reading, was Hogwarts. If we could save grouped items with it and still edit, I could see myself making one for a large map. Yeah, and mazes galore. Imagine being launched by the man cannon straight into the center of a maze. You have to get to the exit before the juggernaut player kills you. The elephant is a behemoth. It looks like a drastic new idea, but implemented into the aesthetic so well. Depending on the speed, it can change skirmish games quite much. So much. A quick question, but can they be driven? That's interesting. Who knows? And finally, I just heard about the 4-player online co-op. It is simply amazing. Bungie, listen to our cries and put it in the game. There will undoubtedly be some great tales from the Foxhole story submitted. Thanks for reading this, guys, out.
So yeah. why don't we cover one of those, and because a lot of people send in a lot of stuff, so we can just cover one by one here. So you choose what to cheat.
Okay, I get to choose what I want to do. Is it really called the elephant? I forget what it's called.
Yeah, it's called the elephant.
Oh, the elephant?
And,
okay, now that's...
It's a slow-moving vehicle.
Yeah, no, that sounds interesting. Yeah. Like a portable scarab almost in a custom game. That could be interesting.
I understand it's basically like a sand crawler, like a Jawa sand crawler from Star Wars, where it can carry a large amount of people, somewhere around 12. It has at least one turret, and it is drivable, although very slow. So that's kind of the point, is that it's a moving base, and it adds a new element to multiplayer. How do you guys see this changing multiplayer? Do you think it'll be a significant change?
Well, it depends on the size of the map. We all know that Sandtrap is the largest map in the game. So, I mean, it's no doubt that this vehicle will be utilized. It would be interesting to see how one turret can handle an onslaught. Because I could just imagine you have the base, well, you have the flag in this portable base, I guess you can call it. And you have, vehicles coming from everywhere attacking you, and I'm sure it's not that fast where it can maneuver, outmaneuver anyone. So I'm assuming that would be a pretty tough flag to defend, and it would require a lot of strategy. So, I mean, to me, just the fact that it has to add new strategy to a game type that we all are very familiar with, that's very exciting, and I'm willing to give it a shot and see exactly how it turns out.
I was thinking one thing on how that would work as far as like how that would change gameplay, and one way would be if you captured the flag and the base, then you could drive the base closer to your base, and then on the next capture you wouldn't have to go as far.
That'd be an interesting feature. I mean, I can't wait. Like JVB said, you gotta change your whole thinking of it. You gotta launch an assault, coordinated assault on theirs, and it's moving, and yours is moving, and you gotta get everybody in a vehicle. 12 people. I mean, that's your whole team in most game types. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, it won't be everybody chills at the elephant and just do anything. But
now that's another question. The maximum amount of people is 12. Mm-hmm. So that means if you have a team of 8, you're not going to fill the elephant. Is that an indication that there could be more players online?
I don't know. I get the feeling that it's more of like there's about 12 people that can fit inside of the elephant, but it's not necessarily like seats or anything like that. But I may be wrong on that. I get the feeling it's more like a multi-stage kind of structure that's moving. That you can stand in and defend different areas.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Mm-hmm. Because even the turret is going to be one of those turrets where he has to, stand up.
Most likely.
And probably, maybe even be a portable turret. Who knows?
Could be. Yeah,
but the elephant is definitely something that, is going to add a lot of fun. And I'm sure a lot of frustration as well.
Yeah.
Because, the first time we all get together and we play a Capture the Flag match and we have to defend the elephant, it's going to take a while for people to, obviously offense is going to have an advantage because You know, they're going to come in their vehicles and, you know, bombard it, and we're still like, oh, dude, man.
Yeah.
What rush to the base takes on a whole new meaning.
Yep. You
know? Yeah, for real.
Yep. And, of course, when everybody wants the latest strategies, you just come from the Pawtacticals.com and you find out.
Yeah, man. We'll be
on top of it.
We're going to be way into Halo 3 strategies when Halo 3 comes out, and we've had a chance to play and get used to it. We'll definitely have that both on Pod TV and on Pawtacticals as far as the both the website and the podcast, so stay tuned on that.
What?
Mm-hmm. Show. Moving on to Marine 3000, who says, well, this wealth of info I've got, with this wealth of info, I've got some things to say. Arrgh, I can't wait till Halo 3. But anyway, with the dual-wielded shotguns, I wonder if it'll be good against the Flood. Is it better than a regular shotgun? But a dual-wielded shotgun is weird because of two things. If it's pump action, how well does it work with two? And how will reloading work with two? Let's just stop there and talk about that. What do you guys think of the Brute Maulers?
Oh, they're really giving the Brutes some really awesome weapons, and they're living up to the name of. I mean, these weapons aren't finesse at all. Yeah. So I'm assuming that the shotgun is going to be pretty clunky, you know, as far as reload time.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, I mean, it's dual-wieldable, so that's, I mean, I wonder how powerful, I mean, obviously they're going to balance it out, so it'll probably be a little inaccurate, maybe, I mean, to even it out.
Right.
What I'm interested is how powerful it's going to be as a melee weapon. Because we know so far all the Brute weapons are pretty powerful when it comes to melee. Like the Brute Shot.
We'll probably have to turn that down a little bit because it does since it's a wielder, it probably won't do as much damage, but it's a shotgun, and by nature, that'll do more damage than a lot of other weapons, so they'll probably turn down the melee from what I can see, but I don't know.
Well, I can see it being a dangerous close combat weapon where you definitely don't want to be caught, you know, with somebody dual wielding it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that it doesn't seem to have a blade on it or anything like that, so I don't think that the melee is going to be particularly powerful, probably similar to the SMG, but it's cool looking. I mean, where it looks kind of like a short Tommy gun, kind of, except it has lights all the way around the casing for the bullets and everything, so the clip, but it looks really cool. I mean, it looks kind of bizarre how it's so stubby and everything, but from what I understand, I was reading online how one of them is less powerful than a normal human shotgun, but two of them, it sounds like that will be more powerful than a human shotgun, but of course you have the disadvantage of not being able to throw grenades and not being able to melee without dropping a weapon. So, you know, those two things will balance each other out, I think.
Which will add another weapon that you have to strategically either prevent the enemy from grabbing or, you know, making sure that your teammates grab it.
Yeah.
So, it's, I mean, I was watching on Xbox Live coverage of Comic-Con, and they were Major Nelson was interviewing Todd McFarlane, and he had mentioned that there were certain things that they were showing him and that he said were going to be in the game, you know, that they keep it as surprises. And that even though he has the license to make the Halo characters, you know, action figures and special edition controllers, whatnot, he said even he doesn't, he can't show those or even make anything in regard to those new weapons or feature, you know, new weapons or characters. I mean, he was like making it look like there was new weapons and vehicles. So who knows? I mean, for all we know, you know, the EGM has them in their article, but, I mean, you know, McFarlane made it seem like there was, you know, a nice little surprise, you know, in store.
I definitely see, you know, more features coming out than we've already heard of. I mean, I know recently on the Bungie podcast they were talking about a particular feature that Luke Smith liked a whole lot that... Frankie was saying, you know, that one that you like a whole lot that changes the whole aspect of single player and makes it more replayable. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, yeah, that feature we can't talk about yet. So, you know,
yeah.
I see more things coming out on that. All right, thanks, Marine. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, yeah, good submission. And we'll go to the next one is Zizeka. Zizeka. Anyway, wow! When I heard all about this new Halo 3 stuff, I was amazed. First, the Mauler. And, okay, I think it's cool that there is going to be a dual-wieldable shotgun. But I heard that one shotgun is going to be half of the power of the regular shotgun. That's how we spell it, folks. Yeah, the power. You got the touch. You got the power. Anyway.
I'm so powerful.
By the power of Grayskull.
I am the power.
Oh, man. The power of Fu compels you. Anyway. Anyway, he goes that next is the gravity hammer. And holy crap, in Halo 2, I got killed so many times by that damn thing. I added that, by the way. In the last level, and I can't wait to take my anger on unsuspecting and helpless nubs. I think the new brute and the human vehicles will be a huge help in multiplayer in transporting guys to the enemy base for King of the Hill, capture the flag, bombs, and so on. It will also help in ambushing and backing up others in need. The new map that was leaked, Guardian, I think will be freaking sweet. I love Lockout, and I'm sure this map will live up to the expectations of a good small map. I just hope they change the elbow. What's wrong with the elbow? Yeah. Anyway, so people aren't so vulnerable to enemy fire, especially in Capture the Flag. I haven't seen the new Elite Armor variants, so I can't say anything. Don't! Let me stop. Other than I hope they look different because they're out of the Covenant. Okay. 4-player co-op I think will be amazing and really helpful and helpful in difficult situations. I just hope it isn't too easy and Bungie makes the levels slightly harder so they can still feel that feeling of a challenge. Still have that feeling of a challenge, sorry. But, I mean, I'm just reading what he wrote. Finally, being able to edit maps will be very, very cool. If they don't edit the elbow out of Guardian, then I can just make the path more hidden and make a more appealing map to me. Thanks for reading my take on the new Halo 3 stuff, and thanks on... And keep on fragging elbows and trucks.
Sweet.
All right. Cool.
Hey, those are cheap. What do you think about the gravity hammer, man?
Gravity hammer, that could be fun. I mean, they'd have to tweak it, obviously. But I could have fun all day smashing warthogs into the pavement with it and smashing mongooses. And
Do you feel it's going to be the new plasma sword?
Well, I don't know, because it doesn't have such a range of attack as the sword did. I mean, you can launch 10 feet in any direction, but the range is only as long as the handle, I guess.
Yeah, so. But wasn't because I haven't read everything, because I'm waiting for the actual publication to come out. Mm-hmm. And from what I heard, you can hit the ground with it and have like a... Some aftershock kind of like push people back. I mean, am I imagining things or was that part of the article?
No, that's basically right. You can hit the ground with it and cause like a shockwave that will cause objects that are kind of within a certain weight range to move back. So like if you hit the ground, vehicles aren't necessarily going to move back, but I think people are going to move back slightly and grenades will be bounced right off of the shockwave and go back the direction they came pretty much. So
nice.
It sounds like it's going to cause like a half dome to come over you that will be kind of rejecting any objects that come towards it. You know, notwithstanding probably bullets and things like that. So.
And the thing is, I wonder how fast you can swing this the hammer, because I'm assuming since it's such a big weapon, it's gonna have a slow swing speed. Which would kind of you know counter the power, you know, that obviously the hammer is going to inflict on people. The power. It's gonna have a lot of power.
It's powerful. I assume there's some kind of ammo level on it too, kind of like the sword, like a power level. That'll eventually run out so that you can't use the hammer in a powerful way anymore, so that it'll just kind of smack people and do basic melee damage.
It'll smack people.
Like slapping them in the face. Here.
Go clean your room. No, I don't know. I don't see that happening, simply because obviously the plasma sword is plasma. And, you know, in a single player game of Halo 2, it, you know, the energy depleted. Right. With the hammer, I believe it's going to be, number one, a two, you know, you need to both hands to swing it, obviously.
Right.
So it'll probably be a disadvantage. Kind of like with the portable turrets, not as heavy and clunky, but it sort of gives you a disadvantage. I mean, I wonder if you're able to throw grenades while you're holding it. You know, maybe you won't be able to. I don't, you know, I can't see like something like that being, you know, depleting after a few uses. It would kind of be a nice strategical weapon to fight over, you know, during a match.
Yeah, maybe like a multiple person weapon, taking on five guys at once and cool.
I mean, you can still slow people down with it. You're not gonna like, you know, go crazy and beat people up, you know, like with the sword where you get, you know, numerous kills at once. Not at once, but like within a close range. But yeah, there is some tactical use to, you know, with the aftershock and all that stuff, shockwave and.
Definitely. So it could be balanced enough with just being able to deal with melee attacks and close range like grenades and vehicles, and not necessarily having to have a energy limit. But it could be fine just being able to be balanced with the two-handed deal and you know, just not being able to fire at distance or anything like that.
Yep.
What do you figure it out?
You know, one thing is funny, now that we're talking about all these brute weapons, when the hell did it become about the brutes? I mean, in Halo 1, you had the elites, you know, the Covenant, the elites, and the grunts. And then in Halo 2, all of a sudden, the brutes come along, and they're, you know, the brutes, the big guys, the main security for the prophets. And now, all of a sudden, Halo 3 is like, really focused on them. Ain't that like kind of weird? Like, you know, they're like the main ingredient to all these new weapons. And
story-wise, it makes sense. I mean, because in the Halo 2, most of the elites are joining up with the humans and fighting everybody else. And the brutes are the main strength of the Covenant, so I think that's probably why.
Right, they kind of had an insurrection and took over the Covenant, basically, and you know, alienated the elites. So.
Okay. The Reaper says, Reaper again, and wow, lots of stuff to talk about this time. Everything revealed has got me so much more excited that I took the time to pre-order Halo 3. Finally. The Mauler looks like it's going to be a great addition to gameplay, and since it's dual-wieldable, and then twice the fun. Even though it's less powerful than the normal shotgun, who cares? If you have two, that should hopefully nullify that little predicament there. But one thing that came across my mind is if you can see weapons on the armor, where would he put them? Maybe it'll be on the legs, one on each, or on his side like a pistol or holster. Never thought about that, but that's interesting. The gravity hammer is definitely the energy sword on some type of physical enhancer. Steroids, maybe. If it can really knock away grenades and vehicles, then that can make for some fun customs. Anyone up for a game of grenade ball? I didn't hear about the Brutes vehicle, but if it's like the Spectre, then it's not going to be used by me. but if it hopefully provides more firepower than the Spectre, it might be useful. Finally, the humans have more than two usable vehicles. I was beginning to wonder how long it would take for Mungie to get something flying, and it seems not that long. The Hornet should provide for some quick aerial movements and possibly some type of air battle. Ooh, that sounds exciting. Any word on its weaponry? The troop carrier, though, should make base raiding easier, especially on the huge games. Do I smell 16 on 16? No. Bungie said 16 max. Anyway, 4-player co-op, online, need I say more? Yes, actually. I cannot wait for this. But one thing is, if the Chief and Arbiter are being used, then how are the other players going to be? Other elites, Marines, Spartans, or a normal Master Chief clone or Arbiter clone? Bungie actually pulled that up. It's two elites. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they fit in story-wise, but that's what they said. Mm-hmm. Could you guys go into a little more detail about the meta thing? I know it's basically a competition for things, but what do you get in return? Achievements, player mods, or what? Bungie hasn't said anything about more player models or anything. Achievements, yeah, there's one for each score on each level of the game. Mm-hmm. The metagame, for all you guys who don't know, it's like a point.
RTS.
No, that's RTS. That's the single player thing where as you're playing single player or co-op. You actually measure the different things such as like how many headshots you get, how many boarding vehicles you can do, speed runs, how fast you go, and there's leaderboards and things like that, and different possibly achievements and maybe armor or something like that as you go along.
Yeah. I confuse it with Forge.
Yeah, Forge. Oh, he goes on to talk about Forge. Forge sounds so awesome. I cannot express its awesomeness in words. Map editing should make each game something new. But what type of editing should it be? Just moving weapon locations or building new fortress areas or filling in certain spots on a base? Now, Forge has me really interested. I'm excited about it. I mean, who doesn't want to change, like, the location of the sniper or build new base?
Yeah.
And then you can go in and play it live while you're still editing it, and you can share
it with you. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I can't wait for that. That should be fun.
You know, why don't we talk about Forge a bit and kind of expand on that? Because I'm really excited about this. I think this is such an awesome feature that they're adding, and something that's not too crazy to where it's like Halo PC, where people are just adding new textures on everything and just making a total mess of the game, you know? So there's a limit on what you can do with Forge. From what I understand, it has some kind of currency to where, first of all, as you're in Forge, which is a level editor and not a level maker, a map maker or anything like that, you can edit such things as gameplay features like spawn points, map capture points, like capture the flag points and such, and different things such as boxes, explodable barrels, things like that, and weapon spawns, including in fine details such as being able to edit how much ammo is in each weapon as they spawn. So, and vehicles, of course, and things like that. So with that, you know, there's a lot to be able to do without having the ability to create an entire level from scratch. And I think that kind of enables you to create a level based on a current level without going too crazy and make some like crazy thing like Far Cry, where you have to download this massive level and everything, and it takes like 5 minutes to download it. And then you're like, you spawn and you're dropping from the sky for like, you know, a mile or something like that. You know, you're like, this sucks. Why did I wait 5 minutes to download this? So I think it's kind of a good mix. You know, they have an editor that's not a map maker that uses the base maps and the balance therein, you know, to kind of start from and then be able to go from there and create a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to see just a map maker in general, like you do it on your computer or something, and then you import it and you can play custom made maps. Now that in conjunction with Forge would just make my day.
I mean, as we heard about, you know, Sony PlayStation 3 being able to, you know, have uh, the gamers will be able to edit maps on the PS3 and then share them, and they refuse to do the same with the Xbox 360. So as far as a true map editor, I don't think we're going to see one. I mean, if they do, maybe down the line as a downloadable feature. But yeah, Forge is going to, you know, I mean, like you said, Fumo, you're going to use everything that's there already, so it's going to save a lot of time. Right. And you're just going to move things around and kind of keep the game fresh for people where, it, you know, if you come to my custom game and you're like a super sniper, I'm going to know that, and I'm going to put the sniper rifle somewhere else, and you're going to have to hunt it down. And, I mean, it adds some freshness and some, you know, new tactical features, and it's, you know, it's going to be very exciting. And imagine Halo 2 till this day is, you know, still being played, and that one, you know, it doesn't have as much as the features that are being talked about today with Halo 3. So, I mean, oh my God, I mean, you talk about a game that's going to have so much longevity.
Right, definitely.
It's pretty spooky, man.
Now with Forge, we got a couple of things here that are worth mentioning. First of all, of course, we have the editing capability without the ability to actually change the kind of, I guess, topography, for lack of a better word, of the map. You know, you can't actually change, like, for instance, the platforms and the, you know, the different areas that you walk along and things like that. But you can change where people spawn, you know, weapons, different obstacles and things like that. So you can be able to add a whole bunch of cool stuff to it. And I think that in itself is going to be kind of a neat thing. Like, for instance, I was thinking the other day, it would be kind of cool to have like a huge wall, like a thick wall of barrels or rather boxes or something like that, to where, you know, each team was like a monitor, and the monitor had to go delete boxes one by one. And then people had to go through the holes and be able to make it to the other side fast enough to be able to win the race. You know, there's all kinds of different things like that. And you know, one of the cool things about this is how you can actually play a game from within that. For instance, you start out as a monitor, being able to edit and add and remove things as you go. And from what we understand, there's some kind of currency to where there's a limit on how much you can do, which is kind of good because it doesn't get, like, too crazy with freaking the whole level filled up with stuff or, you know, something like that. It also adds kind of a gameplay element as you go, to where you can actually switch from the monitor to the Master Chief, or I would think just the Master Chief or Elite or something like that, to where you're a player in the level as you're editing it. So you can kind of switch back and forth between editor and player. So when you're a player, though, it actually keeps score of your game that you're playing. So that if you're playing with another person in Forge, you can have another person go in and be able to edit it with you or something like that. But if you both switch to players and you're on opposite teams, then it keeps score. So what's cool with that is it has kind of a game within a game, where you're having a game within the editor. So that there's all kinds of different customs that you can play. And JVB, why don't you you know, tell us a little bit about some of the customs you can have on there.
What, on Forge?
Yeah, man.
What, customs as far as what I would create, or customs that were, because remember I didn't finish reading everything that
the article. Well, I'll clear some stuff up on that. Is that there's a few ideas that Bungie mentioned in particular on these customs. One of them was called like Magic Carpet Ride or something, where you're actually like driving along as a monitor, and you have to like carry a Spartan from one side of the map to the other without him falling. Which is kind of cool. Another one is like, this is like the coolest idea ever. Okay, you're two sides and you're two teams, right? Each team gets a monitor. So each team has one person that gets to switch to the monitor, and the rest of them have to be players in the game that are fighting. So as you start off, you know, you're spawning vehicles and weapons all over the place, and you can, you know, do all that and then look what they're spawning and then spawn something to react to that and to be able to counter that. But you can also go delete the enemy's vehicles and weapons as you like fly to the other side and do that. So you can kind of play it either way. So it's kind of a mix between like a real-time strategy game and a first-person shooter game, which is kind of a cool take on it, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And I don't know, like I said, man, it's so much that You know, on a side note, you know, a lot of people complain about the Halo franchise and how much hype, you know, is behind the franchise, and, you know, that it's not going to live up to all that hype. You know, when you read stuff like this, stuff that, you know, the average gamer is not going to really notice when they pick this game up. You know, there is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things that now they added that's going to give this game double, you know, the longevity that Halo 2 has.
Not for real.
And that, you know, that's saying a lot, because Halo 2 is 4 years old, and it's still going, you know, pretty good, considering that there's a new console out already, and, you know, people are still playing it in their new next-gen console. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
So, man, I'm, you know, for those haters, you know, keep hating, because we're going to be playing a great game. That's all I can say about that.
Definitely. You know, that's one thing about Halo 3 is that, you know, you get so much for your money that game. There's so much game to be had. You know, while you got Shadowrun, where you have a limit of like a few game types and a few maps, and you're so limited on what you can, on what you're capable of as far as like customization and things like that. Mm-hmm. Although it has all these great gameplay features, you know, it really kind of shortchanged us on that end. But with Halo 3, you have, it's kind of like the best of all worlds. You have the best of everything. You have all kinds of different customizations. You have tons of different weapons. You have equipment. You have Forge. You have, you know, tons of levels. You have tons of vehicles. You have tons of customization options. You have a great campaign that's going to be coming out. You know, you have great graphics. You have amazing sound. There's just so much to be had, and they're really kind of like attacking all fronts at once, which I think is going to be, you know, outstanding. So can't wait to
see. Yeah, it's almost like too much to handle, you know, like it's too much to take at one, you know, like we're talking about all these features and we're told that there's still more that they're keeping as a surprise. So, I mean, you got to be excited, and if you're just a casual Halo fan, you know, hopefully they're listening to us. You know, they have to, you know, be pretty excited that there's going to be, you know, something for them, because there's a little bit of everything for everybody with all these new features now.
True that.
And we're going to be playing this game forever.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's the plan.
Absolutely. Yeah. It'll keep us busy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, moving on.
All right, so next we have Tar Heels 32. Tar Heels, he says, he talks about the elephant, and it's going to be awesome. He goes, I can imagine people pulling a 300 by us by using this and just tearing through the enemy. Although the elephant will be moving very slowly, it won't stop people from driving around and just having fun. The Forge is going to keep Halo alive for a long time. When people make games and share with their friends, it is going to be great for the Halo franchise. Yep. Pretty much been echoing everything we've been saying so far.
Definitely.
It's going to be absolutely brilliant. Even Simon Cowell is going to say brilliant.
It's going to be wonderful.
It's going to raise the roof. Yeah, but, you know. September 25th cannot come soon enough.
I know, man. I just wish we could kind of fast forward in time right here.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could fast forward and rewind to back, you know, today.
Yeah, really. That would be nice, definitely.
Even though I have not had a day off in over a month, I've been working straight.
Wow.
So if I sound a little off in my game lately, forgive me, because right now I'm like a zombie. So, I'm going to take another one here, since that one was fairly short.
You do that.
Sniper219, he goes, hey guys, what's going on? So, I look on Bungie.net to find out more details about online co-op, and I found that the first player is Master Chief, the second player is the Arbiter. And also, the third and fourth players are Special Warfare Elites. I personally would have liked to have a player on the old DST, but oh well. Okay, well, later. Shout out to Random Jake, Destroy You, and the Godtacular group. We haven't touched on this yet. What are your feelings about, obviously, four-player co-op's a big deal, but what are your opinions on having just these two elites as a choice?
With four-person co-op, I think it makes sense to have three elites and Master Chief, because the other two Halo games, you had two Master Chiefs, and it just didn't make sense, and it felt like it was tacked on. But the fact that you have three elites now makes it more believable and more tied into the story. At least that's what I think.
There was one screenshot where it was the Arbiter and Master Chief, and they were talking to Katana. Mm-hmm. You see an elite in the background, standing there, kind of like guarding them. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming those two guys, elites, are going to play a pretty integral part in the story.
Definitely. It's cool that they actually went through the effort necessary to really add characters to that so that it's not just like two unexplainable Spartans for some reason. You know, suddenly there's only one Spartan left, but there's two. Why is that? Don't worry about it. You're playing. Just ignore it.
Just shoot the aliens.
Yeah, just shoot the aliens and forget about it. Big deal. So it's cool that they actually, you know, added a story element into that. You know, kind of like reminds me of Gears, you know, taken after Gears to where you have Dom.
Yeah.
And, you know, the different characters in that to where there's more than just kind of you're just a couple of guys fighting against a bunch of aliens. It's actually like a story that's involved in the whole thing. It's just cool that they're kind of backing it up and really, you know, using the Halo Bible, so to speak, the Halo storyline backstory to really fill that in and make sense of the whole thing. And definitely kudos to that.
Absolutely.
Of course, I think most people will be like, tap taps on Master Chief.
Yeah. I'm hosting.
Yeah. No, I'm hosting.
Absolutely. And speaking of four-player co-op, tournaments in the works for the very first Halo 3 online co-op tournament. Podtacular and DC Combat, they're going to run the tournament, or at least run all the brackets. This, again, you know, I've thrown the idea around in different websites, and, you know, people are getting excited about it. So stay tuned for that, because pretty soon we're going to have people signing up.
Definitely.
And it's going to be nice.
Sign up.
Well, yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah. But it's not.
It's not that much.
Yeah, you do a dope-tacular Borat.
Oh, thank you. It's a sexy time.
All right. You do a Butters Borat.
Okay. Well, wrapping it up for this episode, we're going to continue on in part two coming up soon.
Yeah. The sequel everyone's been waiting for.
One man, one alien, a whole lot of aliens.
One man and three aliens.
We'll fight to the death.
What the sequel to Three Men and a Baby.
Three aliens and a Spartan.
John, pass me the diaper. Shut up.
Wow.
Anyway.
Well, send in your comments, etc. to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show.
You can call our listener voicemail. Why do I always say this every week? At 206-888-HALO. And for Big Goalie Dan, 206-888-HALO. And leave a Halo-related message. We play these back whenever the Customs and Call-In show is back in action.
Yeah.
Which will be, you know, sometime when Halo 3 is released. But anyway. It's not forgotten.
Definitely. And be sure to check us out at podtacular.com. While you're there, check out the forums. There's lots of buzz about Halo 3 and other stuff. Our forums are still rocking, man. We got a pretty solid community going on still at podtacular.com.
Yes, yep, and it's not just all about Halo. I mean, you know, people are over there. The members are interested in other games. They, you know, they always helping each other out with Photoshop and SIGs and, you know, quality beverage with weekly porridge. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff going on besides just Halo.
IRC, definitely.
Yeah.
So thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site, contributing to our PayPal to help out with the hosting bill, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us in iTunes. We couldn't do it without you guys.
And check out our affiliates on the Gamercast Network at GamercastNetwork.com. There you will find the Gamertag Radio Show. And I said that all wrong. Uncle Gamer Radio from UncleGamer.com and Gamercast Network's very own video game show.
Until next time, I'm Fumo Jive.
I am JVB.
And I'm The Too Cheap.
Yeah.
Keep on fragging trucks.
And we'll see you next time.
Catch you on the flip side, dog.
Later, dog. G. That was good, dog. I think you're going to advance in the next competition. I don't know what the hell I was.
What's the competition for, man?
American Idol, that guy, right. Jackson or whatever. Randy Jackson or Freddie Jackson.
Yeah, dog. Like dog, that was great. Dog. Yeah, dog. I mean, you got a future.
All right, peace out, homies.
Later.
Word life, dogs.
The mommies.
Hey, where's the mommies?
Don't blink.
There's only one thing left to say.
Hello?
Hello?
You didn't hear that me screaming, right? That hot dumpling? I went to grab it all like,
Lou! That's
a hot but, dumpling!
I was like, damn, that's hot. It was like the homicide sauce.
That's a hot dumpling.
That dumpling is smoking.
That's the hottest dumpling I've ever touched.
Oh, man.
It's like lava.
I touched hot dumplings.
And when I tell you that dumpling's great.
That one last week. Woo-wee.
This is Billy D. Williams, and I got the hottest dumpling you've ever tasted. Dumplings are fat and juicy. Oh, damn, what am I talking
about? Fat and juicy.
Tis my fat and juicy dumpling.
Felt it in your mouth, not in your hand.
It expands with the touch of your mouth. Whoa. This
hot, fat, and juicy dumplings.
Exotic dumplings from Singapore.
Where it's hot and wet.
Ah, and they pulsate.
Oh, gosh. Dumplings are like boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, yeah.
When a man eats a dumpling that is so hot, it burns his mouth.
This dumpling is hot.
Pulsating.
Kill it.
God,
what are you having to this
dumpling? It's too hot even for me. I'm not saying something.
Sean, why don't you be quiet? That is my pulsating dumpling.
Three men. One dumpling. Who will eat it?
If you touch my dumpling, I'm going to kill you and rip your arms out.
This summer.
Oh, I'm just...
I'm dumpling to rule them all.
From director Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wobbly eyes, the mouthpiece.
Comes an epic you won't want to miss.
Hey, take your hands off my dumpling.
Special guest, Tony Soprano.
Hey, even Louis Armstrong came back from the dead. Don't you gotta get off my dumpling.
Mommy, this isn't even dumpling.
My son just told me, would you stop talking about dumpling?
Oh man, we just did a 15 minute skit on a dumpling.
Leave it to us.
Yeah, right?
Oh man.
This is Partacular, the unofficial dumpling podcast. And this week we'll talk about.
Hey, dumpling fans, welcome to another episode.
Dumplingtacular.
It's time to give you this week's dumpling update.
Keep on dumping dumplings.
It's like this week we got news about a pulsating dumpling found in Singapore.
Singapore. This amazing dumpling is going on eBay for $1 million as we speak.
It has a picture of Jesus on the front.
Straight out of Roswell, I believe.
Oh man, this is the dumplings the foreigners used to eat. Oh man.
I think it's a message from the forerunners.
Eat me, do it!
Boom, 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 boom.
Wait a minute, it's Morse code!
Boom, 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 boom.
GamerCastNetwork.com